Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, June 19th, 2018. With me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
Good. Good morning.
Good.
Nice to be here.
It's great to have you here. Good morning. And Andrew Orr, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. And also thank you to LinkedIn Jobs for being our sponsor today. If you're on the hunt for new employees, I'm going to tell you about what they can do and the deal they have for you too, but soon. All right. So we might as well just hop like right in to topics. And I want to start with this report that IHS Market did, where they surveyed smart speaker owners, and they asked them about how they use the speakers. So they were talking to people in the United States, the United Kingdom, Japan, Germany, and Brazil. And what they found is that out of all the respondents that they had in this study that they did, only 6% use their smart speaker for smart home control. And on one hand, that seems like a strikingly low number, but on the other hand, maybe not. And what do you guys think?
I think it's perfectly understandable. What I call stealing from physics, the principle of least action. There are things that you can do with a home speaker that are easy and trivial and obvious and fun. And then there are things that require study and keeping some plates spinning and some technical application. And so those things are going to be rarer. And so It doesn't surprise me at all that people listen to music, check the weather, because these are the things that are advertised. These are the things that are most obvious and simple in the ads, and the things that people most easily embrace with a speaker system. But home automation is a lot tougher, and People have to do some rewiring, rejiggering, change, install locks.
Yeah, change that's right. The thermostat. They have to get extra equipment.
Mm-hmm. They have to make an investment like you're doing to learn the technology, and you have to be motivated. You have to want this technically. And if things are working well and your thermostat's on automatic and things are fine and you like you're set up the way it is and you're concerned about security, you're probably just not highly motivated to go out and explore these things. We're sort of like in the Apple One phase. Mm-hmm. Remember the Apple One days where it was a motherboard and you have to buy a power supply and you'd have to attach a hex keyboard or a regular keyboard, and maybe there was paper tape involved, I don't remember, but connect your own display. So it was kind of like a homebrew thing, and you had to be really technically oriented and motivated to do this. When home automation gets to the Macintosh phase, then we'll be somewhere. But we have a long way to go on that.
You know, I like that analogy you made.
Principle of least action.
The principle of least action, and we're in the Apple One phase.
Yeah.
You know, it's no secret that I've totally tricked my place out with all kinds of home automation and smart home gear. And it's really complicated. And there were times where I had to sit down and really think about how to make something happen. And a perfect example would be when I open my front door, I want the light inside the entryway to turn on. Now, the old school way is you would open the door and flip the light switch. But I wanted that to be automated. And what it took for me to make that happen was I needed to have a sensor on the door. I needed to have a smart light in the fixture inside the door. And so that the light would turn on when I'm approaching the door from the inside, I had to add in a motion sensor. So I had three pieces of hardware.
Wow.
Yeah. And so three pieces of hardware. And then I had to go into the Home app and figure out how to string everything together with a timer function so that the light would turn on automatically and turn off 10 minutes later. And I figured but
there's another principle involved here, and that is diagnostic work. What if something stops working for some reason?
I spend a lot of time in diagnostic mode. I spend a lot of time in diagnostic mode.
Yes, and that requires attention and patience and motivation to figure out what went wrong and then have the technical wherewithal to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes the fix is you just have to start over from scratch.
As you said.
as I've had to do. Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's pretty hardcore. Like you just have to wipe everything out of your account and start from scratch. Other times it's, you have to remove a device and put it back into the mix. Or you have some scene you've created, you have to delete the scene and reset it up. So I mean, it's not perfect. And
there's another factor.
Okay.
That I just thought of, and that is the gatekeeper syndrome.
Okay.
You usually have one person who's in charge and who knows what's going on. If that person isn't there, everybody else in the family is helpless. Whereas in your case, you're in charge and you don't have to worry about somebody saying, hey Jeff, I know you're in California at WWDC, but we can't get the lights to come on. Help.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I actually did take that into account and made sure that everything that is controlled by the smart home, there's a fallback. So if you have to, you can just start flipping light switches and And where I have smart outlets, I'm using like Wemo smart plugs. There's a power button on the plug, so you can just walk over and hit the button and turn on the fan for the room, or you know, whatever it is.
Any spouse who's ever configured a home entertainment system and has tried to explain to the other spouse how it all works, and has had the other spouse say, "Shit, I just want to watch Netflix," knows what I'm talking about.
Yep, and this is why I went out and bought a Logitech Harmony remote. I think I got the Harmony Elite. So so you just tap one little thing on the screen, and it does everything, and including setting lights for you depending on the time of day. So I don't have those issues of how many remotes do I need to use, what order do I have to use them in. It's just tap the thing. But setting it up took a lot of work. So, Andrew, you've been quiet. I have a question for you. And as I recall, you don't have a smart speaker that you're using now. If you did, would you have any interest in using it to set up smart home controls?
Yes. That actually kind of ties into what I was thinking. This article says that people use smart speakers mostly for, you know, asking the weather, setting a timer, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Do we know if people will be able to control the new Shortcuts app via the HomePod? Because that would be a really good smart home thing.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I'm really looking forward to playing with. And so my plan is, when iOS 12 Developer Beta 2 comes out, if I feel like it's stable enough, then I'm going to install Developer Beta on the HomePod and start controlling Shortcuts through that.
Yeah. Because I think if I had a HomePod, I would definitely set that up and start using Shortcuts.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to testing that out. All right, so what I think we've established is that, Andrew, you and I, we're the outliers, where we want to have a smart speaker that can control smart home stuff. And John falls into the main user group, where there's too much friction for the benefit that you get, and it's not worth it. Does that sound about right?
Yep. Yep. I try to keep my spinning plates to a minimum.
And I'm trying to figure out how to spin more plates all the time and see what works and see what breaks. One of my favorites right now is when I tell the A lady, because, you know, I have all three of the major platforms to work with. When I tell the A lady to turn off the lights in the hall, and every single light in my place shuts off. But not all the time. And so you're just standing there in the dark, and it's like, seriously? Seriously? Yeah. All right. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is LinkedIn Jobs. And here's the deal. Right now, we have 70% of the U.S. workforce that's using LinkedIn today. And so if you're hunting for new employees, you have a much higher likelihood of finding just the right person for the job through LinkedIn, because so many people are already using the service. And it turns out that that businesses that have been using LinkedIn Jobs to find their new employees, they actually rate that service like 40% higher than other job boards for finding the quality candidates that they want. So what that translates to is, if you're looking to hire a new employee for whatever job you have a much higher likelihood of finding the right person with the right qualifications through LinkedIn Jobs than through other job posting services. If you're in the market for someone, you should totally give this a shot. And here's what you can do. Because you listen to Daily Observations, you can get $50 off your first job posting. And the way you do that, go to linkedin.com/TDO, get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/TDO for $50 off. Terms and conditions do apply. And you know, when you start getting applicants responding to your job posting, there's a much higher likelihood that you're already looking at candidates that are much better suited for your job than if you're looking other places. So linkedin.com/TDO, $50 off. And thank you, LinkedIn, for being our sponsor today. Okay. So, John, you weren't here yesterday when Dave and Brian and I were talking I don't remember who was on the show with me yesterday. To be fair, I don't remember what I had for lunch yesterday. Andrew, you weren't on yesterday, were you?
Yeah, I think it was me and Brian.
You and Brian? Oh, that's right. Man, I totally blew who was on yesterday's show. Andrew, I'm so sorry about that. It's not a reflection on you. It's me doing so many different things that I can't remember who I'm doing what with at any given time. Anyhow, so we had a great discussion yesterday, you and I, and Brian too, about whether or not Apple is going to be releasing new Macs soon. John, you wrote the piece that inspired us to have that discussion. And Brian felt that Apple's in a position where they really need to release new Macs soon. And Andrew, as I recall, you felt like it was time for Apple to do something. And so, John, you think this is something Apple's going to do. Convince me that Apple is really getting ready to release new computers.
Well, there's bits and pieces of evidence that I put together. The first one that I saw was at BGR on June 4th. Chris Smith reported that there had been an upload to the Geekbench for a 6-core MacBook Pro, and those don't exist except in the Coffee Lake version, as we know.
The Coffee Lake version of Intel's processor.
Right. And so this was a 32 gigabyte 6-core MacBook Pro that was submitted for benchmarking on June 1st. And Mr. Smith's conclusion was that this Intel Core i7-8750H 6-core is emblematic of the next MacBook Pro and suspected it might be released at WWDC, but if not, then soon thereafter.
Well, the second, didn't get it at WWDC.
We didn't get it at WWDC, but WWDC was full of software goodies, and I'm not surprised because there's so many Macs that need updating. There is a buyer's guide at Mac OS Rumors that is specific to the Mac. And for the iMac and the MacBook and the MacBook Pro and the MacBook Air, it's been 379 days since it's been up, since they've been updated. 1,202 days for the Mac Pro. Of course, the Mac Pro is out of the picture because we know we're going to get one in 2019. 1,342 days since the Mac Mini was updated. So we're just bursting at the seams.
Say that Mac Mini number again, just because.
1,342 days since the Mac Mini was released in October 2014.
Isn't that insane?
Right. So given that the Coffee Lake processors are available, that we have this benchmark that was submitted, and that it's been a year since Apple updated its main MacBook line and its iMacs, not the iMac Pro because it's still in mid-cycle, it's logical that Apple would be bringing out new Macs about this time. If not WWDC, then I suspect shortly thereafter. And so I was mulling that over when on Friday, the new Behind the Mac ads came out. Mm-hmm. And I take that as a positive sign. I think some people reacted negatively as and say that this is a palliative, that we don't have anything to offer, that we're serving up a Mac ad instead of Macs. I don't take it that way. I don't think Tim Cook would agree to that kind of advertising strategy. His values are stronger than that. I think what Apple is, given the other facts that we have that I just listed, I think Apple's kind of holding the fort until they put the finishing touches on several of these new machines, MacBook, MacBook Air, MacBook Pro, and possibly the Mac Mini. And the idea is to remind us that Apple is working on Macs and still excited about Macs, and punctuate the fervor at WWDC on Mojave. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are excited about Mojave. I know I am. And it's kind of disheartening to think about how you may have an older machine that isn't going to be able to run Mojave if it's older than a 2012 machine. And you're faced with the proposition of buying a new Mac to be able to run Mojave. And it's dismaying to think that the Macs that are being offered are well over a year old. And you know that as soon as you go buy one to run Mojave, Apple's going to introduce new machines. So there was an article I pointed to in Particle Debris that pointed out that independent of Apple's surprise and delight syndrome, the Macs need to be a little bit more dependable in their upgrade cycle, especially for developers. Developers need to be able to know that, you know, come summertime, we're going to get new MacBook Pros, so that you can plan your buying cycle. Schools, developers, and consumers don't like being left hanging. And so I think Apple is in a position where they're just putting the finishing touches on these new Macs, and we're going to see them fairly soon. Maybe not in the next few weeks, but certainly in the next month or two.
All right. So so you're looking at benchmarks that showed up in Geekbench for a Mac that doesn't exist.
Right.
The ads that have come out and the time we've had since last updates. And you put those pieces together, and that tells you new Macs are coming soon.
That's my conclusion.
So
what do you think?
I think I don't know, and I hate saying that. And I say I don't know because there is no pattern anymore. So we really don't know when new Macs are coming out. I would like to think that with the new processors from Intel, that Apple is ready to start rolling out new computers. And I'd like to see at least a refresh across the laptop lineup. I'd also like to see a new iMac. And I just don't know what's going to happen with the Mac Mini.
Yeah, there are lots of people who are very concerned again. Apple kind of brushed itself off and picked itself up out of the dust at Mac WWDC last year when they introduced the new Kaby Lake MacBook Pros and announced the iMac Pro. And we thought, oh, Apple's back on track. There was a hiatus and Apple is resurgent. But we're starting to linger again, and now people are starting to get very irate. And it's easy to take shots at Apple if I'm sure they're feeling the heat. That's why I take it that these ads are, I take them in the best spirit of what Apple's trying to do. Kind of like saying, well, okay, we're not quite ready to release them, but let's keep, get people excited and remind them that we still love the Mac and talk about it in these ads. And then follow through with the release. It's the worst possible mental attitude to say, we don't have any new Macs to offer. We're not going to do anything soon. We don't care about the Mac, but we're going to throw out some ads in a cynical way to kind of, you know, make you think we're going to do something. I don't believe that for a minute. I don't think Apple thinks that way. And it's a bad spirit in which to view Apple.
Yeah, well, okay, so Brian, he thinks that Apple needs to make an announcement, not that they necessarily will, but needs to make an announcement. Andrew, what did we say, what did we come up with yesterday based on Brian's numbers? The week of July 16th, does that sound right?
Yeah.
That Apple needs to do something by then. And so, John, you're thinking it could be longer than that, but it'll definitely be by this summer.
I think that's a good time frame because you don't want to linger too long because we're going to have the September event for the Apple Watch and the Apple iPhones. So you want to get the timing right so you don't have to have a big event for the iPhone and then say, well, we already had a big event and we invited everybody out, and so doesn't make sense to do another one for the Mac. So the Mac has to come first.
All right. Well, after listening to you talk, I'm more inclined to align with you that if Apple's rolling out new Macs, it'll be this summer, as opposed to Brian saying that they have to make something happen by July 16th or the week of the 16th.
What's Brian going to do if they don't make an announcement by the 16th?
He'll rant.
Time to start taking bets.
So I expect we'll hear Brian ranting. That's just what I'm thinking. All right. We are out of time. We need to wrap up. Andrew, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
Hey, thanks for having me too.
And thank you to LinkedIn Jobs for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, linkedin.com/TDO, to get $50 off your first job posting. And I'm going to do a little bit of self-promotion. July 28th and 29th, that's WordCamp Denver. You guys need to sign up and come. I'm talking this year, and I'm going to be talking about WordPress and podcasting. So WordCamp Denver, July 28th and 29th. It's at the University of Denver, and it's going to be a lot of fun. WordCamp is always a lot of fun. So I'll make sure there's a link in the show notes. Get your tickets and come and hang out with me, and I'm going to talk about podcasting. It'll be a lot of fun. Listeners, I am so glad that you are here. Thank you for joining us today. See everyone again tomorrow.